Take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to continue, I guess, part two of the message we began this morning, the faith of Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start with verse 23 and read the same verses we read this morning down through verse 29. Hebrews 11, starting with verse 23, going down through verse 29. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. I had a note handed to me that Terry Alexander is not well, and so we want to pray for him as we pray to begin our message tonight. And then we trust that you'll pray for him as well this evening and through this week. Lord, we do pray for Terry Alexander. Lord, we thank you for him, and Lord, we pray that you'd bless him. And I'm not sure just what his ailment is tonight, but Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen him, that you would relieve him of pain and discomfort, and Lord, that you would restore him to health. Lord, as we turn to look at your word again and again look at Moses like we did this morning, we pray that you would help us to see a life of faith. Help us to see that not only Moses and these heroes that we've looked at in previous weeks can live a life of faith, but you've called us and you will empower us as well to live a life of faith if we so choose and so trust in you. Ask your blessing upon our time together now in Jesus' name. Amen. The faith of Moses. We looked this morning and saw Moses had a hereditary faith. That Moses' parents saw that he was a goodly child. That they had the faith to hide him for 3 months. They had the faith to place him in the river. To put him into the hands of God. To entrust his life to God. And that faith was rewarded. And we see as well that it was a decisive faith. That it came a time when Moses, 40 years of age, looked and he saw what was going on. And Moses, you know, I'm glad that the Bible points out many times that individuals in the Bible do not do everything right. Because it gives me some hope. Moses came out and saw an Egyptian abusing a Hebrew, and he killed the Egyptian, buried him. His royal status did not protect him from the wrath of the king. It was found out, and the next day he went out and tried to settle an argument between two Hebrews, and they said, "You're going to kill us like you did that Egyptian yesterday," and he didn't think the thing was known. The Pharaoh Ramses II wanted to kill him, and so he fled to the Midian desert. It was a decisive faith. He rejected his privileged position. He knew his choice would have costs. He knew he was fleeing the pleasures of sin. He knew the real values of life. He weighed and balanced Christ's riches and the treasures of Egypt. And he fixed his eyes on the true rewards. Again, we said that 40 years pass between verse 26 and verse 27. 40 years in the Midian desert. 40 years tending sheep. 40 years in which he came to own nothing. Wife, children, but no possessions. The end of 40 years, of course, God calls him to return. To go back to Egypt. To confront Pharaoh. To tell him, "Let my people go." Moses, like I'm sure a lot of us would be if we're wise at all, said, "Lord, I am not able to do this." See, because sometimes we think if we are able, then we don't trust in God like we should. He says, I can't do it. I can't speak. He says, what is that in thine hand? I like that phrase. What is that in thy hand? He looked, a stick. An insignificant piece of wood I picked up 5 years ago. I use my knife. I smoothed it down. I use it to sometimes to discipline the sheep. I lean on it when I walk. It's a stick. He says, throw it down. He threw it down and became a serpent. He said, pick it up. I would have said, not me. I don't do snakes. And certainly you don't pick it up by the tail, because they can swing right around and bite you. But he did what the Lord told him to. You see, folks, this is just kind of a side. This is not even my note. This is extra. I won't charge you for this. You see, God wants to use what you have, not what you wish you had. I've told you before, I wish I had $12 million. If any of you got that tonight, you could fulfill that wish for me. I have it all planned where it's all going to go. I'll keep a little for myself. But most of it, I've got a plan where I'm going to give it all away to. But you know, the Lord hasn't given me $12 million, but what do I have? I have $20. You see, and I'm responsible for this $20. I'm not responsible for the $12 million. So God gives you abilities, talents, possessions, that they might be used by Him for His honor and glory. God doesn't ask you to use what you don't have. He came back. Verse 27 says, not fearing the wrath of the king. We talked about a steadfast faith for 40 years. Comes back to the same king, Ramses II, that 40 years before wanted to kill him. Now, instead of hiding behind a building, he marches boldly into the palace. And he says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. I'm sure Ramses was a bit taken back by that. And then as that Moses held that rod or that staff in his hand, and God began to bring the plagues and the miracles on the land of Egypt, Ramses saw this was a man, and his God was one to be reckoned with. Because if you look at the 10 plagues of Egypt, each one of those plagues of Egypt was an attack on the pagan deities of Egypt at that time. God cut them down one after another, after another, after another, until there was nothing left. A boldness, a steadfastness in his faith. He said that he could stand boldly without fear before the king because he had met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at that burning bush. We said he could do it, and our last thought this morning was this faith of a generation that his parents had built bridges for him that he might have that faith. See, it's not something that just happens. We said this morning that the next generation is looking to us to build those bridges that are necessary. Build those bridges that they don't have the strength or the courage to build in their young lives. New Christians are looking to us. Unsaved are looking to us. People who have not trusted Christ as their Savior are looking to us to build them, help build them bridges to eternity. Now, we can't make them be saved, but we can pave the way with our lives. Do you ever wonder somebody who is saved, says they're on their way to heaven, but all they can do is gripe and complain and grumble? The unsaved see them and they say, you know what, I'm not sure I really want to be saved if that's what it's about. Because they complain about the same things I do. They grumble about the same things I do. Building bridges. We're going to continue looking at this fact of steadfast faith. And consider the thoughts that he endured. He was steadfast. That's the thought there, the word endured. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast. Steadfast. I've been around long enough to see Christians who are, I call them flash in the pan Christians. Oh my, they're so excited, and they're gonna evangelize their community, or they're in probably 90 minutes or less, they're gonna do that. And they just have all the answers, and they're just a house of fire, and they go here and there. 3 months later, they're not even attending church. And they're the Christians that I really appreciate, the plodders. You know where they're going to be. You know they're going to be faithful. You know they're going to be in church when the doors are open. You know they're going to be there. You know that they're going to be attentive in church. You know that if there's something to do at church, they're going to be out and they're going to help. They don't have a ministry necessarily up front, but they're there. They're faithful day after day, week after week, month after month. You might be a little concerned about engaging someone individually and confronting them with the gospel, but they go out to eat, they leave a gospel tract on their table, or they'll hand it to someone and say, can you read this, and invite them out to church. Just doing it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Be steadfast, unmovable. I like to take the word steadfast and put it in stuck fast. Did you ever get stuck fast someplace? You can't move. Wednesday night, we should have had church, because you could have helped me push this guy out in the parking lot. I don't know why our parking lot is so popular. Wednesday night, guy comes in, going to turn around in the parking lot. And of course, the snow, you can't see where it's deep and where it's not. So he came to turn around. He had a little Honda, four-wheel drive thing. Supposed to go any place, like a bulldozer. But it wasn't. He drove, got up on top of this drift, and his wheels were just spinning. They weren't even, his chassis was sitting on the snow. So he comes, knocks on my door, going to borrow a shovel. So I go out with him. Shovel's not going to do it. He was stuck fast. He wasn't going any place. I wasn't real happy about that, because it was cold. And I was cold, and the wind was blowing. I was getting snow in my hair, because I didn't have a hat on. I had all kinds of problems. I said, I'll get my truck and pull you out. I have a four-wheel drive truck. Pulled my truck out, backed it up towards him. Guess what I did? My truck was stuck fast. Four-wheel drive. Had to get a come-along to a telephone pole. Pull my stuck fast truck out. I got a long rope and hooked onto his truck. Finally pulled it out. Stuck fast. Not moving. Be steadfast. You see, folks, there are those that are tossed about with every wind of doctrine today. God calls us to be steadfast. You know, there's always something new coming around. There's always something. You know, if it's new, and if you've never heard of it before, then you ought to be a little skeptical of it. Now, we can always learn things. I understand that. But every time you turn around, there's some new wave that sweeps across Christianity, and it's going to revolutionize Christianity. Do you know what revolutionized Christianity? People getting back to the book and obeying the book. People praying. Some new program, some new book, some new five-step program is not going to do it. I've been around long enough, and a lot of you have been long enough to see these things go over and over and over and over. He endured. As seeing him who is invisible. He could see, he had a better perspective on what had gone on 40 years before. He knew why God had used those circumstances to get him to leave Egypt for 40 years. He had a better perspective on those 40 years in the wilderness and leading sheep for 40 years. He had a better perspective. He could see why God had brought him through those difficult times. And if you don't think it was difficult, Think about going from the palace of the greatest empire in the world at the time, the Egyptian Empire, to the backside of the desert with no possessions except what was on your back and a shepherd for your father-in-law. But God had a purpose in that difficult time. God had a purpose in those trials and those tribulations that he faced. Why could he see? Because he looked through the eyes of faith. Colossians 1:15 says, Christ, talks about, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God is invisible. We cannot see God with the naked eye. But through the eyes of faith, we can see what God is doing. We can see God's work. We can see God's work on the hearts and minds of men and women and boys and girls. We can see God work as he does in nations and through leaders. Even though those leaders are not personally surrendered to God, God brings the circumstances to their life to move them, that the decisions they make might bring him honor and glory. There's a song we sing sometime, open mine eyes that I may see. I think that goes back to 2 Kings chapter 6. The king of Syria sent an army to capture Elisha. Elisha had troubled him. The king of Syria said he's got a spy in our camp. Every time something we make a decision, he knows about it. He tells the king of Israel. Every time. He says in chapter 6 and verse 14, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and encompassed that city round about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? There is no hope. We're surrounded. They are out there. Look at how many are out there. They've got horses, they've got chariots, they've got everything. We have nothing, no way to defend this city. And he, Elisha, answered, fear not. Remember, we looked at fear this morning? Jesus was out with the apostles out on the lake. Storm came up. They were afraid of the storm, but when they saw Jesus stand up and speak two words, peace, be still. It says they feared exceedingly. Just like Moses met with God at the burning bush, the apostles met with Jesus Christ. They saw that he could, with a word, calm the storm and the wind and the waves. And they feared him exceedingly. And then the lake held no fear. Elisha could say, fear not, because he met with the King of Kings. He says, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I'm sure his servant said, yeah, right. I can count. And I count and I look at the soldiers we have inside the walls of this city, and I look at those that the Syrians have round about us, and it doesn't balance out very well. They've got a whole lot more out there. And Elisha prayed. Strange thing to do, isn't it, to pray? But in most circumstances, it's the right thing to do. He said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He opened his eyes. You know, when he saw that, when he looked through the eyes of faith, the Syrians no longer held any fear for him. You see, we're going to come into maybe this week we're going to come into a circumstance, and we look and it seems though the opposition is overwhelming. It seems that there's no way out of our trouble. It seems that we are totally outnumbered. But you know what? Say, God, open my eyes that I may see. And look through the eyes of faith, because God, again, all things work together for good. good. Now, it doesn't say everything is real good. Because sometimes we get into circumstances, and they aren't a lot of fun, but if we allow God to work them together in our life, they work together for good. But there's a condition on that, isn't it? To them that love God. All things work. See, we can't say, you know, we go out and do really something really stupid, and we get caught by the police doing it, and say, well, all things work together for good. No, 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 that's not what that says. For them that love God, and them that are called according to his purpose. And so there was a steadfast faith. We see as well that there was an obedient faith. Look at verse 28 of our chapter. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. There was an obedient faith. Remember, faith is hearing the word of God and obeying. That's pretty simple. Faith isn't something that you can work up. The Bible says that faith, that if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can see this mountain be removed and cast in the midst of the sea. See, the faith, it's important, is the object of our faith. Not the, you know, that I said, I have great faith. But what is your faith in? We said this before, if your faith is in the economy today, then it's on something pretty shaky. If your faith is in our government, well, you know what they're up to. If our faith is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It was an obedient faith. In Exodus chapter 12, we find specific instructions for the Passover. The 10th plague. The plague upon the deity of the Pharaoh himself. The firstborn, the one who's to be the successor to Pharaoh, the firstborn, were considered deity. And now God says and gives them the instructions, take a lamb, set that lamb apart and examine that lamb. Make sure there's no flaw in that lamb. Of course, Exodus chapter 12 looks forward, of course, to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he says, you're going to examine that lamb, and then you're going to kill the lamb. Take the blood and put the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost of your house. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, there's specific instructions that must be followed. The blood had to be sprinkled, and there were guaranteed results. He said, I will pass over you. As the plague goes through the land of Egypt, I'll see your house, and I'll see the blood, and death will not visit that house that night. But I see a house that where there is no shed blood on the doorposts. I'll visit that house, and the firstborn in that house will die. Think with me of a home. A home that for the past months when Moses was there, it griped to complain about Moses and all the trouble he caused. His father was having to work a little harder and things were not quite as available as they were before. He didn't like all these things that Moses was telling them they could do and couldn't do. And now he comes and says, you know what? I've got to spend money on a lamb. I've got to take that lamb that I could take and I could sell for things that... And I'm going to kill that lamb. I'm going to take blood and I'm going to put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. Not me. And so the time comes to take the lamb, and his son is firstborn. He said, Dad, where's the lamb? I don't believe in that foolishness. But Dad, where's the lamb? Moses said, I'm going to die if the lamb is not slain in the blood. He said, son, don't believe that. Oh, we're Jewish and we're religious, but we don't want to get extreme about this. Comes the time the lamb is shed, and they look up and down the streets. that the men are in front of their house and they have a lamb and a basin and a knife, and the lamb is being slain and the blood is being spilled into that basin, and they take the hyssop and they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. But there's none going on his doorpost. None going on his lintel. He says, son, it'll be all right. Don't worry about this foolish. You know, I just get tired of this extremism. That night, as the wail goes up from Egypt, the father walks back to where his son was asleep just a couple hours ago. And he finds his son dead. No better than the Egyptians. Why? He refused to obey the word of God. You see, folks, the Bible's not written just as a storybook. It's not written for our entertainment. It's written to be obeyed. Do you know there's no other kind of faith than obedient faith? Verse 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. We see a courageous faith, our last thought. It was a courageous faith. Notice, if you will, look at verse 28. It says, by faith he kept the Passover. Notice the change in the pronoun in verse 29. By faith, they passed. See, courageous faith is contagious faith. If we stand up and we say, by faith, I'm going to serve God. By faith, I'm going to move forward. By faith, as Moses did, I'm going to stand before Pharaoh. By faith, I'm going to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. By faith, I'm going to see the plagues come out. And then others began to catch the vision. Others began to say, you know what? I can stand by faith with Moses. I can say, by faith, as Moses stands at the Red Sea and he speaks, and the wind comes and the waters begin to part and the wind blows, and they, as Moses steps out by faith between the walls of water there on the Red Sea and begins to make it, by faith they can step out as well. They can go in a place where they, by every human measure and understanding, are in great danger, because there's nothing but the Word of God holding those walls of water back. By faith, they can step out because it was a contagious faith. 600,000 men, it tells us in Exodus chapter 12, verses 37 and 38, besides their families, besides the mixed multitude that were with them, of those that weren't of the Jewish faith, those that weren't sons of Jacob, there were probably between 2 and 3 million people leaving Egypt at that time. A vast, vast multitude followed the faith of Moses, stepped out by faith. And went through the Red Sea. Go back to Exodus chapter 14. See a couple of verses there. Exodus chapter 14. Courageous faith is tried. Look at verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said, Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Notice verse 13, Moses' response. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have not seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I want you to think about this. Moses did not know what was going to happen to the Egyptians. He didn't know that God was going to part the waters, that they were going to go through the waters of the Red Sea, that he was going to turn around with that staff, that same one, when God said, "What's that in your hand?" You turn around that staff and hold it over the sea, and the sea was going to come over, and God was going to take the wheels off Pharaoh's chariots of the Egyptians. Can you imagine them? This always, to me, I know it's a horrible scene, but it's a little comical to me too. They're going through in their chariots. All of a sudden, they're in the midst of the Red Sea, and not just one wheel falls off, but all of them fall off. We have a real maintenance issue here. This is the chariots drave heavily. They were trying to drive their horses with no wheels on their chariots. And God says, "You're done, boys." See, Moses knew none of that. But he knew God. By faith, he knew that God was going to do right, that God was going to fulfill his word, that God was going to deliver them. See, faith is tested. Faith is tried. James 1:17, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then we find that courageous faith is rewarded. Back in Exodus chapter 14 again. Exodus chapter 14, verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Courageous faith is rewarded. I don't think Moses was the kind of man who would say, "I told you so." But I'm sure it was tempting. He held his staff over the sea. The sea came upon the Egyptians. And as they looked, as the waters settled, they saw their enemy destroyed. They saw those same Egyptians that were pursuing them to capture. They didn't want to kill them. They wanted to capture them and return them back to Egypt as slaves. He saw those very individuals destroyed, floating on the water, coming up to the seashore dead. Courageous faith is rewarded. It was not only rewarded in the death of the Egyptians, but was rewarded in the growth of faith of the children of Israel. Look what it says. Israel saw, the people feared and believed the Lord. This was the beginning. The children of Israel are going to go through a lot of more troubles. Not too long, they're going to get to tomorrow where the bitter waters are sweet, and again there's going to be a problem. And then they'll get to the desert and there'll be no food, and they'll have a hard time with that. And then they'll get to the place where there's no water, and Moses brings water from the rock, and they'll get to Mount Sinai. And the Mount Sinai, when Moses doesn't come down from the mountain in the time, they build a golden calf and worship. I mean, there's all kinds of trouble yet to come, but God is building their faith. They had the faith today to believe God that they did not have the night before. God was building their faith. A couple thoughts and I'm done. Keep your focus on Christ, and you'll see the invisible and do the impossible. Endure in your faith. The word enduring is it gives us the thought of a time that's not easy, a difficult time, a time that taxes us and stresses us. Endure in your faith. It will not always be easy. Be obedient in your faith. Be obedient in what you know the Word of God tells you you're supposed to be doing. God, Mark Twain said years ago, he said, You know, it's not the part of the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the part that I understand. See, just do what you understand and you know is right to do. Keep on doing that. Be courageous in your faith. Be courageous. Let this next generation see in our lives a courageous faith. Let us build bridges for them with a courageous faith, that they might see us stepping out by faith. Just like the children of Israel saw Moses, he stood there and the waters began to part as Moses stepped down off the shore and began to walk through the Red Sea. They saw his courageous faith and they followed his faith. If somebody was following you or me, where would they end up? The faith of Moses. A faith we find in his parents. A faith that trained him for the first 5 years. A faith that sustained him in 40 years in Pharaoh's palace. 35 years probably. A faith that sustained him in the wilderness when he had nothing. A faith that sustained him when he came back to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." A faith that sustained him as the 10 plagues came upon Egypt. A faith that sustained him as he came down to the Red Sea, the armies behind him, the sea in front of him. A faith that sustained him as he simply looked to God and said, "God, what are you going to do now?" And God parted the Red Sea. A faith that sustained him as they left and as they made that journey to Mount Sinai and then into Kadesh Barnea. A faith that sustained him even when the children of Israel rejected his leadership, wanted to turn back to Egypt. And they spent another 38 years wandering in the wilderness. That sustained him until they came up, until Moses went on top Mount Pisgah. And there he saw spread before him the promised land. A faith that sustained him.